Okay guys, so tonight I'm going to be speaking on Ezekiel 37, and you can follow along in the sheets that hopefully you got on your way in there. I'm just going to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever been lost before? Do you remember how it felt? I know that as a child, I got lost on a few occasions. I particularly remember one occasion that happened to me when I was visiting family in England. We were walking about in some hills in the local area when I decided that I wanted to run ahead for some unknown reason. After a while, I came to an opening and stopped and turned round only to find that my family weren't with me anymore. I was in unfamiliar territory, not really knowing where I was. I didn't have a phone or any way to contact my parents. I felt scared and alone. I didn't know what to do next or how to find my parents. Thankfully, this feeling was short-lived, and my parents appeared within 10 minutes. I was filled with relief and was reassured that I was again safe. Perhaps in our faith, we can sometimes become lost, and we can be unsure about what will happen next. Remember that feeling as we look together at Ezekiel 37. So, who was Ezekiel? He was a prophet. God spoke to the Israelites through Ezekiel. In the book of Deuteronomy, God warned his people that if they did not obey him, they would be sent into exile. This time in history, the Israelites, including Ezekiel, had been exiled to Babylon. Ezekiel prophesied between the years 600 and 570 BC. To put that into context, the exile didn't finish until around 521 BC. The book of Ezekiel is commonly divided into four sections. Chapters 1 to 24 are prophecies on the ruin of Jerusalem. Chapters 25 to 32 are prophecies of God's judgment on nearby nations. Chapter 33 is a final call of repentance for the Israelites. And finally, chapters 34 to 48 are prophecies regarding the future restoration of Israel. So what about Ezekiel 37? Firstly, it speaks primarily to the Israelites. The Israelites had lost their identity as a nation by the fact they had been exiled and scattered among the surrounding nations. It looked as if they would never return to the Promised Land. The vision in Ezekiel 37 was used to inspire the Israelites with hope that God would someday revive them as a nation. However, this vision could also speak to us as individuals and as a collective church. At the beginning of the vision, Ezekiel is carried away by God to a valley filled with bones, as you can see here. Take a moment to imagine that. Everywhere he looked were dead men's bleached bones. This image wasn't abstract for Ezekiel. Often following battles in Old Testament times, the bodies of the defeated would have been left to decompose, eventually leaving just a skeleton. Although a more common sight than today, this experience still would have been harrowing for Ezekiel. God then leads Ezekiel through the bones. Ezekiel himself was not only a prophet, but a priest. In those times, when you touched a dead body, you were considered unclean, particularly as a priest. Ezekiel likely felt uncomfortable and saw no hope in this place. In verse 11, we are told that these dry bones represent the people's spiritually dead condition. So what does it mean to be spiritually dead? When we're spiritually dead, it's like we're lost, a bit like in the story I mentioned earlier. In this case, I believe there are two meanings to being lost. Firstly, I believe it is talking about those who have heard the gospel proclaimed but have rejected its message. Secondly, I believe it is talking about those people who perhaps identify as Christians but under the surface are far from God in what they say and how they act. For me, I remember being in Sunday school and hearing the story of the parable of the sower. I listened to this parable and I tried to work out what type of soil I was. I had heard the story before and had always assumed that I was good soil. I knew that I was neither the path nor the rocky ground. I felt that I understood the gospel and had deep roots to deal with the problems that might come my way. However, when it came to the thorny ground, I was a little less sure of myself. It seemed as though, even if I had deep roots and understood the gospel, the distractions of this world could still come along at any point, and just like the path or rocky ground, I would produce no crop. This thought scared me, that even if I thought I was a Christian, maybe I really wasn't, because other things had taken priority in my life. For me, these three types of soil represent being spiritually dead. For me, these three types of soil are the equivalent of dry bones. So, what does being spiritually dead actually look like? It may be that your faith has become a routine or a set of religious obligations. This is when your faith becomes a tick box exercise. Yes, you may read your Bible and pray every day, but it may only be because that's what you think you're expected to do. When we read the Bible and pray, it should not be done out of routine. Instead, it should be done because we are passionate about God, we want to grow in our faith, and because we want to know what God wants us to do for Him in our lives. We're in danger of becoming spiritually dead if we live two different lives. We may act a certain way during the week at work or at school, and then at church on Sunday, we'll be a completely different person. God calls us to live our whole lives for Him, not just Sundays. If we're not doing that, then we need to question whether God is truly our priority. If we don't recognize the sin in our lives, we can become spiritually dead. It can be easy for us to rationalize our sin and say, well, it's only a little white lie, or they started it, so they deserved everything they got. God can't tolerate sin because He is perfect. If we don't recognize our sin and therefore don't ask for forgiveness, God can't have a relationship with us. So what do we do if we find ourselves becoming spiritually dead? Thankfully, the answer comes in verses 3 to 10. God asked Ezekiel if the bones can become living people again. It would have been easy for Ezekiel to say no. That would have been the logical answer. However, you recognize that nothing is too hard or impossible for God. What might look hopeless and dead to you and me is a field full of possibilities for God. When we recognize that we're spiritually weak, we need to approach God and listen to His word so that He can make us spiritually alive. There is also a message in these verses for when we see that those around us are spiritually dead. As Ezekiel preaches God's word, something happens. There's a rattling and the bones attach themselves together. When we share the gospel with those around us, their lives can be changed forever and they too can become spiritually alive. As the bones come together, the muscles and flesh are formed over them. Ezekiel was now essentially surrounded by an army of lifeless corpses. Sometimes we as individuals and as a church can look like this. Everything might look in place on the outside, but on the inside is a very different story, where there is no spiritual life. A church might look like this when it compromises on sin and the need for holiness is minimized. The church may not recognize that some of those things that they are doing are sinful, and those sins go unconfessed. A spiritually dead church will not have a passion to go out into the world and share the good news. A spiritually dead church may have lazy leadership. In this way, the church leader would slip into spiritual cruise control where things are done just because that's the way they're done. This type of leadership will be reluctant to change. The church must always be a place where the Lord is glorified through prayer and worship. However, the way in which this is done may need to change to prevent spiritual death. When we recognize spiritual death in the church or in ourselves, we need to ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit and put Him at the center of everything that we do. This is what is happening when the wind enters the lifeless corpses in verse 9. As a result, they then come to life and begin to breathe. With His Holy Spirit in us, God can use us as individuals and as a church to go into the world and share the good news that we have been given. So, how do you know you're spiritually alive? Once again, thankfully the Bible has the answer. A few weeks ago in church, we were looking at 1 John, and that's where part of the answer can be found. In 1 John 1:9 it says, But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. When we are spiritually alive, we will recognize when we have sinned and come to God asking for forgiveness. John 13:34-35 says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you." You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If we love those around us and show that love through how we act as well as what we say to them, that shows that you're spiritually alive. 1 John 3:6 says, "So if we continue to live in him, we won't sin either, but those who keep on sinning have never known or understood who he is." When we recognize what God has done for us by letting his son die for us on the cross, we won't want to sin anymore. We will want to do what is pleasing to God. James 4:6 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace only to the humble." If spiritually alive, we can't take any credit for our own accomplishments, as they are only achieved by what God does through us. Taking this credit strips God of some of his glory. These are just some of the examples of what being spiritually alive looks like, but there are others, and I would encourage you to find out what they are. So, how do we respond to the words in Ezekiel 37? Firstly, I want to encourage you to reflect on your faith. Do you feel like dry bones? Do you feel like you're lost and have no hope? Ezekiel 37 should provide you with hope. Provides a message that no matter how hopeless the situation, God's word and his Holy Spirit can bring new life to it. If you're in this place, look to God's word for reassurance. Speak to him through prayer and ask him to help get you out of that situation. If you feel that you're spiritually alive, that's great. Hopefully you can stay that way. Ezekiel 37:12-14 states, or brings a promise from God, the Israelites, that they will be raised up and brought to the promised land. That promise is the same for Christians today, except their promised land is not here on earth, but is in heaven. Before we reach that promised land, God wants us to be his army here on earth. We need to expand his kingdom here with the help of his Holy Spirit. There are practical things we can do to live out this calling. We need to continue to reflect on our faith and how we can grow in that. This may be through meeting up with other Christians and looking at scripture together. It may be through challenging those non-Christians around us as to why they don't have a faith. It may be talking to a complete stranger about the gospel. It may be through prayer, listening to what God wants us to do for him. From Ezekiel 37, we also need to reflect on where the church is spiritually as well. We should not be afraid to challenge something if we think that it is affecting the spiritual well-being of the church. If changes do need to be made, God needs to be at the center of all of those changes. Ultimately, we're only human. We can only do these things with God's help. And with that in mind, I'm just going to pray to finish. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the nation that we live in, and we can live in wealth, Lord, and have food and water, Lord. We thank you for the message of Ezekiel and the hope that brings, Lord, that if we think we're spiritually dead, Lord, then you can give us new life, Lord. And if we are spiritually alive, Lord, that promise that you're going to look after us in heaven, Lord. But let us do your work while we're here on earth, Lord, and look forward to that day when we'll finally meet you. Just pray these things in your name. Amen. We're now just going to stand and sing again, and it's going to be "In Christ Alone."
Thank you.
Victoria's just going to come forward now and share what she was doing in India over the summer.
Yeah? No problem.